This program is brought to you by BibleWayMedia.org, overseen by the Ooligah Church of Christ in Ooligah, Oklahoma. You're listening to For This I Bow My Knees with Tracy Frederick.
And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed, and came into Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he came unto us, he took Paul's girdle, and bound his own hands and feet, and said, Thus saith the Holy Spirit, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done. And after those days we took up our carriage and went to Jerusalem. This reading came from Acts chapter 21, verse 8 through 16. Now I lifted it out of the larger context, an account of Paul's journey to Jerusalem. It's obvious Paul was loved. In the previous chapter, chapter 20 of Acts, we read the heart-wrenching account of Paul giving final instructions to the elders in Ephesus on how to handle the challenges that would come when he was gone. He knew he would never return. He knew that prison was waiting for him, verse 23. The response of those men who sat with Paul, taking in his final instructions, is recorded in verses 36 through 38. It says that they knelt down and they prayed together one final time, and they wept and kissed him and walked him to the ship, grieving, and Paul moved on. He sailed to Kos, to Rhodes, and to Patara, to Syria, and he stopped in Tyre, where he and his companion stayed for 7 days. And this is where Paul heard it again, the warnings to not go to Jerusalem because something bad would happen to him. He listened, and then he left, and he knelt on the beach and prayed with them, and then he said farewell. And he sailed on until he found the house of Philip the evangelist there in Caesarea, where that prophet who walked all the way from Judea warning Paul that it would look like with his hands and his feet bound when he went to Jerusalem. As if Paul didn't know, as if Paul cared. And after reading that dramatic scene, you see, I wondered, what if, after all that, what if Paul had said, Okay, I think you're right. Wow, you know, that looks terrible. You convinced me. I'll stay. Or, okay, that sounds fine. I'll just skip Jerusalem. Can you imagine Paul saying that? I can't either. I mean, we know that Paul was going to go no matter what. We know that because that's who he was. Because doing something else, as he said, not going would break his heart. And so he went, knowing the consequences. He always knew what could and would happen. And so they couldn't persuade him to stay. But after reading the other conversations Paul had with those elders in Ephesus, the brethren in Tyre, who cared deeply for Paul and prayed with him and walked him to the ship, it's kind of odd to me that those folks in Caesarea asked Paul to stay and not preach in Jerusalem, as if being bound would convince Paul to be quiet. So I was thinking on this and puzzled by this scene and the reaction because it broke Paul's heart. And I realized that we do the same thing, you know? I mean, like these people in Caesarea, really, don't we? These people, they loved Paul. They didn't want him to be in prison. They wanted him to be around preaching the gospel for years. And I get that. Paul was their friend, their brother in Christ. They were convinced that if they told him what it would be like, he would change his mind about teaching the truth. And as I realized how ridiculous that sounds, I also realized that I think that we've been there. Don't you? I mean, knowing that there's a situation which someone needs to hear the truth, and we discourage our husbands, we discourage a preacher, an elder, from doing what is needed, warning someone, you know, telling them the truth. So we're afraid that we'll lose our child, our grandchild, our sister, our friend. It will make people uncomfortable. I mean, you know, it might make somebody angry. And so in doing what we think is helpful to warn them, we convince them to stay, to not go, telling them and ourselves that the sacrifice, it isn't worth it. The stakes are too high, that there's too much to lose, that we don't want to break someone's heart. But you know, there was another time when a man was about to make a sacrifice, when he was going to offer his life for the sins of the world, and his friend tried to convince him not to. Remember? Peter said to Jesus, "Far be it for you, Lord, that this should happen to you." Matthew chapter 16, verse 22. And Jesus called his friend Satan for trying to convince him to stay. Verse 23. You know, in both situations, when Paul and Jesus were begged to stay by their friends, they went anyway, because the answer for the situation was the same: the Lord's will be done. And you know what? That really is the answer to any broken heart. And it is for this that I bow my knees.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Byway Media by visiting us at bywaymedia.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And we encourage you to please share this program, to like it on social media. Thank you for being with us today.